Welcome back to Don't Cuddle Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan. Not Daniel. Dan.
Not Daniel. You're better than that. Mm-hmm. Today we're spooked out because because we have started reading The Watchers by A.M. Shine. Mm-hmm. Today we're halfway through, so up to chapter 18. We're doing this one in only two episodes because got to get to the end.
Quick announcement to start us off. In this spooky season, this Luke and I were talking off air that this book reminds at least me of Creepypasta. And I'm sure listeners out there, there is at least one creepypasta that, well, maybe one creepypasta that really stands out to you. In either a good way, in a way that really got you, or in a horrible way that somebody recommended it to you, you read it and you were like, God, that was the worst thing I've ever read. What we want you to do for this month is to send us at least between one and four creepypastas. If you have more than four, don't send us that many. You need to narrow down your list. But send us one or like a few creepypastas. Don't tell us if you loved them or hated them. And then on our last episode of the month, we will rank them in a tiered list. Everybody loves a tier list.
Of course.
Luke and I will read the ones that have been submitted. Or if they're really long, we'll read part of them. And then do a tier list of which creepypastas were good and which ones were horrendous, because there are some really tough ones out there
in the best of ways, though. And to be clear, put it the place that you would submit these is on Discord.
Yes, we've been doing a lot more on there now.
I think most people know this. Discord is really the only place that we're active right now. If you don't have the Discord link, it's on the like welcome page of our subreddit.
We should put it on the website or something. Yeah, we should put it on our website too. But our subreddit is reddit.com/r/don't call it a book club. And then there's a welcome post that has the Discord link in there. If that's too many steps for you to remember and you do end up putting it on the subreddit, then I'll check there. This is a Dan guarantee. I'll check the subreddit before we get to the end of the month and make sure nobody posted there for this. But we haven't been posting on the subreddit for
we gotta get our socials under control, Dan.
Yeah, we should. But anyway, if you put it in the Discord, we'll definitely see it. And if you put it on the subreddit, we might see it. So put it under the, let's go ahead and try and use the Hot Takes channel for this, but if you don't put it there, that's fine. We'll find it where it is.
Oh yeah, getting organized. Very good.
anyway,
that's how we'll get some extra creepies in. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before we get to the book, let's do a little warm up.
Yeah.
I've got one that's going to be so small and so specific, which everybody loves those.
Mm-hmm. We all do.
I'm going to do a gym-related little rant here.
Like hard, shiny, precious minerals, Luke?
No. Like working out in the gym.
I see.
And my qualm is that pull-up bars are out of control these days.
Well, in what way, Luke?
So I've been out of town for that's a whole other thing. But I'm at a different gym that it has like more modern equipment, let's say.
Okay.
And all of the areas that have pull-up things are not just the pull-up bar. Like, that's what I'm used to. That's what I want. I want just like a bar that can support my weight that is horizontal.
Yeah.
What people are into these days is these things that have like six different horns coming out at different angles.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
And I hate it.
You mean you get confused by it?
It's not necessarily... Well, first of all, it's like, I don't need this many, okay? This is... What, like... Do we care this much about the angles?
Luke's offended that you would even ask. Hold? Luke's offended you even ask how he wants to put his hands.
And now I'm like... Like, I have started, like, this is a whole different thing, but I've started, like, doing a little bit more jumping around.
Ooh, plyometrics. Like, a little plyometrics.
I don't know if that's what I would call it, because I don't know what that word means. Okay. But, and now I'm having to, like, jump up and, like, grab the right handle and, like, maneuver my hand around bad handles. And it's too much. Give me a bar. Give me a horizontal bar. That's all I need.
Luke, you just need to go to prison, because I think that's what they have there.
That's the only place I can find them.
Yeah, it's just like a water pipe that goes through your cell at the very top of it, and you just use that to do pull-ups.
Yeah. Honestly, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. I'll allow like one bar that like comes out so you can get the you can't see me. Well, Dan can, but I'll allow like two different grips.
Yeah.
But now, do you know what I'm talking about?
Am I coming out
of left field here?
No. I know what you're talking about. There was actually recently an outdoor workout area installed on a trail I run on a lot, and they installed one of these things that just got, frankly, an obscene number of things coming out of it. Like it's got me wondering, like, what kind of creature do you want to use this tool? Like, how many arms do they have, the thing that it does a pull-up on this? Am I doing pull-ups wrong? It gives, you know, when the internet videos for a while used to be like, you're doing this thing wrong, let me show you the correct way how to do it.
Yeah, and it like blew everyone's minds.
Yeah, it was like, watch this banana hack. You open it from the bottom instead. Whoa.
Right.
You've been doing it wrong your whole life. It makes me worry a little bit when I see all these different grips you could have that I'm like, why do we need them? What do we need them? Yeah. Do I need them? Should I be doing more research? Should I be doing more pull-up research? And then I think, what a waste of my time. I don't need to be doing that. When you pull up, you grab bar, you pull chin up, you go down, you do it again. That's the pull-up.
Exactly. Yes.
I'm with you, Luke.
It's obscene.
I'm with you. I'm actually going to...
We're min-maxing pull-ups now?
At a certain point, I don't know. At a certain point, we just need to go outside and play a sport or something. Like, if you're trying to get all these different ways of doing a pull-up, just go do a sport at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how you get all your muscle groups. You do an activity. Luke, I am going to jump in with my... I have a short complaint as well.
Okay, good.
I think, Luke, and I've talked a little bit about this in the past, some things are acquired tastes, but some things are just gross.
Okay.
Key example here, and I'm gonna get some hate for this, I know it, Negronis. Have you ever had a Negroni before?
Yes, I think it's been a while.
It's a cocktail.
Remind me what it's red.
It's very bitter. It's got... Luke, I'm not a big cocktail guy, so I don't know all the names of the different alcohols that go in a cocktail.
Okay.
But I will say, very bitter on a Negroni. People will call it herbal, a lot of herbs in there. And I think it's just gross. I don't think it's an acquired taste. I don't think it's something that eventually you're like, oh, no. I get a lot of the like, really herbal notes. And like I think it's just gross.
This is my favorite one that you've done yet.
It's not.
This is you went out and had a drink and you're like, I don't like this. I need to tell my friends about it.
Yeah. They had a Negroni week, Luke. 2 weeks ago was Negroni week. All these restaurants in the area were like, hey, would you like to try one of our cool Negronis that we came up with? And I'm like, oh.
Wait, what do you mean that we came up? Like,
because they can add other stuff to it, right? They can add like the one I had like a strawberry infused something or other.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, okay, a cocktail. I'm sure this tastes good.
I want to see, just so I can understand what, oh my God, hang on, because I'm having to go through like three different pages to figure out what's in a Negroni.
Love that. Thank you, internet. We're in the golden age of the internet right now. Information. Okay, yeah,
it has a
so
lot of
easy.
It has a lot of words that I don't know what they mean.
Exactly.
But it is red, as I suspected.
It's red, and it has what are called like, they're referred to as like digestive or like, well, they're like medicine liquor is a lot of what's in there. Is liquor correct. That tastes like medicine. Yes, that was meant before we had cough medicine. That was like, hey, if your kid's having a tough time, give him this alcohol. And they'll go to sleep and stop bothering you. And I'm saying my cocktail should taste yummy. I don't want to have I don't want my cocktail to not taste yummy. And it's not an acquired taste. I don't believe you when you tell me it's an acquired taste. I think it's just gross.
I think I'm here with you on this. And I kind of like a cocktail.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I don't drink that much and I don't really know the names of liquors and that kind of thing. And so when I order them, I am like looking to make sure that the thing actually has words that I know, A.
Good, important.
And B, has a lot of like fruit or citrus in it.
Mm. And see, this is where I went wrong because it said strawberry on one of them. And I was like, oh, strawberry, that sounds yummy. Hmm. Wasn't yummy.
Well, I'm glad you brought this to our attention.
So anyway, some things listeners, I will say. I'm not saying acquired tastes don't exist because I definitely have acquired tastes for things as I've become older. But I think some things that people claim are acquired tastes are not. They're just gross. And you're a freak if you like them.
Okay. Folks.
Is that a hot take? I think that might be a hot take.
It might be. if you love Negronis, sound off in the comments.
Don't get at me. I don't care. All my friends are telling me about Negronis right now, and I thought I would try one to see what the hype was about, and it was gross. So don't come at me.
What's your go-to order at the bar?
Usually a beer. If I'm getting a cocktail though, depends on the Luke. We can't do this because it depends on so many factors.
Let's do this another day.
Yeah.
okay, folks, listen, we've been coming up with warm-ups for a while now. They're going to just keep getting more small and specific, so stick with us.
We run into the danger of repeating ourselves unless we get so specific that there's no way we could have talked about something before.
That's right. Throughout the week, I'll just think of something and I'll be like, this bothers me, and I'm going to rant about it to Dan.
Yeah.
And I get excited. So that's really the point of the podcast.
Yeah.
And the next portion is kind of just an excuse. okay.
Speaking of which,
we're talking about The Watchers up to chapter 18.
Yeah.
And
Luke,
you spooked?
We are a little spooked.
Okay.
We're a little spooked. These things sound pretty scary. I will say, we have to get this out of the way here. Every horror piece of media out there is predicated on somebody doing something that is a bad choice. Like,
yes,
that's how it has to start. That's how it has to start, is somebody making a choice where you're like, why the fuck did you do that? Like, don't do that. Who would do that? And obviously we have that bad choice from Mina, right?
Yeah. My first note is that Mina deserves it. Not the whole thing, I guess, but she deserved to get lost for sure.
Right. You're saying because who would agree to take a bird for like a 2-hour journey?
No, not even that one. That part's fine.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, I'll get paid to drive a little bit. But the part that drives me nuts is that she like doesn't figure out the directions beforehand. She has a map.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't, like, when she's lost, she doesn't like stop to figure out where she is. She like has the map out while she's driving and just like keeps going, as far as I can tell.
Can we, Luke, hold on. Can we also talk about the fact that she's using a paper fucking map to get where she's going?
This was a hard time for me because, like, at one point, the guy that she's doing this for says you can't get lost anymore. And I clearly referencing, like, using Google Maps, right?
Yes.
But she doesn't use it.
Drop a pin.
She
doesn't,
I don't even know if she has an address. Like, she says that he circled an area on the map, and she says that he circled, like, the whole map, right?
Yes, correct.
So what's the plan? What, I don't understand. What's the plan?
Right. Is her plan to just go house to house? Because presumably she's going to a place that has a town.
Right.
So the plan is to just go house to house and be like, hey, do you know who wants this fucking bird? You need to give me a, if there's no address, like maybe they live off in a house that's way away from the road or whatever. It's down a back country road, whatever it is. Drop a pin. Give me the coordinates of where I'm going. I've never met this person before. I'm trying to sell him a yellow cockatoo. Help me out.
I know. And like she gets lost and she doesn't stop the car, figure out where she is on the map, maybe backtrack a little bit. No, she just continues to drive. And at one point early before she leaves, or sorry, not before she leaves, but like early when we're getting her perspective, it's a quote from Peter. Is that the guy's name?
Mm-hmm. Something Peter. Like that? Yep.
Where he's like, you just take one of the country roads. They all go to the same place. And like, I don't think that's true.
No, they don't.
At all. No, this is in Ireland, so I don't really know. But I don't think that's true. I feel like he's getting mixed up with the all the roads lead to Rome quote.
Oh, well, maybe that's where he's sending her.
Okay.
Maybe she got really lost and he circled Rome. He circled Italy on the map. And that's why she's all turned around.
It could be. It could be. Yeah. but yeah, that's my note on why she deserves it. Because what are you doing?
I also think you don't go forward into an unknown territory. If you're lost, you don't go further into your lost zone. You say, okay, exactly. I know it's been a while since I saw a person, but I at least know what it is like back there. Yes. So I'm bringing my phone and I'm walking back away from the scary
forest. Oh, you're saying after the car breaks down.
Car breaks down. I'm not going in the direction the car was going.
Right.
Because I don't know what's over there at all.
Well,
I have no idea.
Well, okay. The problem is, and again, we're acknowledging that this is a horror book and they always have to start with people doing bad decisions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're in on the joke.
Of course.
But she's like, I can't go back because I've been driving for hours and I haven't seen anything.
Sure.
And so I think she's like, if I try to go back, I'll never make it.
Listen, she justifies it for sure. But I'm saying, Luke, she doesn't know what this is that she's walking into.
Right.
She knows it is a known entity, what she just left. So, driving for hours, listen, driving for hours is like potentially walking for a full day, right? These are country roads. She's not driving 60, okay?
Sure, okay, I'll accept it.
So let's say maybe a 24-hour walk that she's looking at ahead of her. Yeah.
I think, okay, that's, can I just, why were you still driving straight?
So
why didn't
true.
You turn around? It's sane to not have like tried to figure out the map before this. I'm repeating myself.
Yeah.
But, okay. I've said my piece. Now.
But anyway, she walks out into the forest. That's fine. She gets out there and she meets our crew. Okay.
Can I, before we get to the crew, I just want to say, even before we get to the real scary part, my car breaking down in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
Nightmare scenario.
So bad. So bad. And phone dead. Cause
oh,
Car breaking down and phone dead is really tough. It also is so frustrating to me that she didn't have any way of, like, she has the shittiest car of all time. I think she sort of explained it. Like, you bring a little jumper kit where you can, like, maybe if your battery dies, you can jump it.
Right. One of the self jumpers.
Yeah. Things. You have some, like, backup stuff where you're like, if my car breaks down, I can get where I need to go.
Right.
No, she doesn't have any of that. Ugh.
Do you also think...
So that was the start of the nightmare, frankly.
I'm going to get into weeds here for a second.
Let's go.
So there's a point here where technology stops working, basically, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it a hard line?
Ooh.
Because, like, what I'm wondering is she has the car... Daniel has the bike.
Yeah.
If we push it back like 10 yards.
Ooh, does the car start?
Do they start back up again?
And this is sort of too why I was saying, like, you walk backwards. Because, look, your car dying unexpectedly is something that can happen, but unlikely, but does happen, right? Your car dying and your phone that you have been obsessively checking, because of course you're going to be worried about this as you're driving for hours in a place that you don't know, now is suddenly dead.
Yeah.
Also, this is suspicious.
It is.
Now, I think it's also suspicious because, like, a motorcycle, a car, like a modern car, has a fair amount of electronics in it, but a motorcycle from the 1980s has like one spark plug.
Yeah.
What is the magical field around this forest? Like, does it stop gas from exploding?
No, it can't, because it's not the same thing. It doesn't stop combustion because they have fires going.
Doesn't stop electricity because they have light bulbs in their little house.
It's
I fear we're
focusing too much.
We're getting some stickers on us. We're getting some stickers and some burrs. We've been in the weeds for a little bit too long, Luke.
Let's go into the forest, where we make our trek.
Okay, so she treks in, and Madeline starts yelling at her. She's like, "Hey, get over here! Bring that stupid bird! Get in this house!"
Yeah.
She makes it in there and meets our crew. Okay. They keep using this phrase, Luke. And the phrase is, they've got four mouths to feed.
Mm-hmm.
Incorrect. I've got qualms with this.
Okay.
They have five mouths to feed. The bird has survived somehow. How the fuck did this bird survive? We are at the midway point in this book. They've been in this location for like a month now.
Yeah.
This bird must be the funniest parrot that has ever existed. Because if I am starving, imagine, Luke, imagine, like, okay, Daniel comes back and he's like, "Hey, there's no birds out in the traps today. I brought back this handful of nuts and berries." And Mina is like, "Okay, but make sure you split it five ways because the bird needs some too."
Right.
No. I'm eating the bird today. I'm really hungry. And the bird just sits there. The bird is nothing. The bird is food now.
How much does a bird this size eat?
I mean, it's a parrot, right? So it's going to be like 3 pounds, 3 or 4 pounds of bird, I'm guessing.
Sure.
Okay. Luke, they're eating handfuls of nuts and berries.
Yeah.
Any of that? If the bird is taking one of my berries, I'm like, fuck you, I'm eating the bird.
I don't disagree. What do you think is the hang up? Do you think it's the actual killing of the bird because it's a pet? Or do you think it's like they like the bird
The bird has to
Okay. It's very monotonous, and the bird provides a little bit of interestingness.
The only way this bird is surviving is if it knows 101 knock-knock jokes and is so well-behaved that it is like, if I just look at it wrong, it knows to just shut up and look at the corner.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, imagine if I'm in this tense situation, there's monsters screaming all night long, and the bird just starts flapping and pooping on stuff and jumping. Like, bird is dead immediately if the bird is not the most well-behaved animal I've ever encountered.
I feel like I would be letting the bird out.
Yeah.
And it's like... And it's like, if you fly out, that's on you.
Right.
Actually.
Right. That's another alternative, of course, is like, you don't want to keep feeding the bird. That's fine. Open the cage. Say, well, if you want to leave, bird, go off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because they're killing and eating birds all the time, right? They have traps where they're.
Yeah, but those are outside. Those aren't pet birds.
Yeah, but dang. Luke, if you don't want to do the killing yourself, just take the pet bird and put it in the trap. Just say, all right, buddy, here we go. Put your head in this trap.
It's surprising that the bird has lasted this long. I'll say that. You know, funnily enough, I didn't have this note, actually, until you brought it up.
Every time the bird is still alive, I'm like, what the fuck is the bird doing?
Yeah.
It's a real castaway package situation with this bird.
Yeah, it's a good looking bird, Dan.
This bird has got to be the most beautiful bird that's ever existed for it to still be alive.
Yeah, yeah.
And for them not to have turned it into like a ritual artifact where they've like extracted its beak into a headdress or something like that.
I will say things have not gotten as weird as I would have expected them
to. I agree. Yeah.
Like they've been cooped up. Like, so Mina's been there a month.
Yes.
I don't know how long Sierra or Daniel have been there, but Madeline has been there like a year and a half. Over 2 years. Okay.
Yeah.
I would have expected it to be weirder in there.
Yes. I would have expected Madeline to be getting real freaky with something.
Just to she's certainly an interesting character, but not in the way that I would expect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I kind of, since we're on Madeline right now, I think it's kind of endearing that she loves poker. Mina pulled
like
out
she takes the, it really seriously.
Mm-hmm. And when Mina pulled out the cards, there was this moment where I was like, is Madeline going to be against this? Is she going to be like weird about it? Like, we don't have fun here. But I kind of love that she was like into it, that she was like, oh yeah, finally. I've been waiting for somebody to play.
Yeah.
Play with.
Yeah. We should talk about the characters a lot, like a good individually.
Mm-hmm.
Madeline, I mean, maybe this is just because the book and Mina, who's kind of our main character, have come around to her a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stand on Madeline now?
I've been pro Madeline from day one.
Okay.
I think in this situation, sure, Madeline is harsh, and maybe this is because I'm a professor. But I'm like, yeah, you need to do your fucking homework, okay? And here's how we do shit to stay alive.
Yeah.
You want to pass my class? You need to do these fucking things.
My note is that basically, like, I don't disagree with Madeline about the others being useless.
Oh.
And...
Yeah.
And I feel like... Ugh. Maybe she could be nicer about it, but I don't know how long she's been with them. And she's maybe been carrying the team for a while.
And Luke, given that there's nobody out here to hold her accountable, the fact that she hasn't just locked them out of the room one night.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she's willing to put up with them.
Right.
So
there's not that much to do, if I'm being honest.
Well, okay, I think part of this is on them.
What do you mean?
Well, Luke, people for like millions of years haven't had much to do but have found stuff to do.
Right, right. This is what I mean.
So like you found one message written in charcoal on the wall of this room.
Yeah.
Maybe practice your charcoal drawing. Maybe
okay.
Maybe write some poetry or something. Maybe see if you can board up the windows in that room in some way.
Right.
Maybe like what are we spending our time on? This is a big note that I have that I don't
know.
Yeah,
this was what I meant.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am trying to figure out how are we spending our day, because going to the well or the spring and getting the birds out of the traps can't take more than like 2 hours tops.
Yeah, I think Mina says going to the spring takes like an hour tops.
Yeah. So what? How are we?
We're collecting firewood sometimes.
Uh-huh. Like, I feel like we could have such a, like, think of the songs that they could come up with where they're like, all right, we need to come up with a new song today. Who's going to start?
Right.
Who's going to sing lead? Like, there's so many things that they could do. Meanwhile, it seems like most of what they're doing is annoying each other. Is there?
It does.
Is there?
Well, okay. Let's nail it down. Okay. So
yeah,
they have to stay awake at night.
Yes.
And so that means during the day, a portion of their day is taken up by sleep.
Yes.
So let's say we're sticking with an 8 hour sleep schedule. We've got like 8 hours to do outside stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe a little, maybe less, I guess, because it's from dark until dawn. I don't know.
Depending on the time of year. So right now it's during the winter because it's December.
Right. So it's right.
Probably less.
So they've got, I don't know, 7 hours to do outside stuff. But then I feel like they're wasting all of the nighttime hours just right. Staring at the window.
What are they doing? They yeah. have to have come up with a thing to do.
Yeah.
I feel like people...
You could be like making stuff, right? Like we need another water bottle.
Yeah.
Right? Let's like whittle down some logs into containers or something.
Hey, I'm tired of eating these birds off of sticks. I need a plate. I'm going to make a plate. Like, come on, guy. Madeline, you've been there for 2 years. What have you made? Have you just, you're telling me you've just been staring for 8 hours a night off into at yourself in the mirror?
It's bad. It's a twofer if you do this, right? Because like you make useful things and also you occupy yourself a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Stops you from going crazy.
That's right. It's important.
I get that. Also, Luke, I want to point out that it doesn't take long for most people for an absurd, like crazy change in their life to start to feel sort of normal again and mundane. Madeline's been there for over 2 years. I'm sure for the first 6 months, this shit was terrifying every day.
Yeah.
But now, like, if this is just part of your day, is like, okay, this is how I organize my schedule. Like, I do this, and then I do this, and then at night, I need to find something fun to do as the watchers prance around.
Right.
And all I have to do is not go out there, and then we're fine. And so I just need to, I got this cool cool rock that I found that I'm going to whittle or like chip off pieces to make into a cool shape or something.
I've been working on my manuscript. Even though I don't have paper, it's all in the dome, actually.
I've memorized a big long poem that I can share with you. I've been carving into the wall with a big rock to make a little game. I've put tic-tac-toe on the wall and we play with the charcoal. Or I put a chessboard somewhere, and we've got these little rocks.
You can make a chessboard easy.
You have three people in there now. It's one thing if you're in there by yourself. That's tough. Okay? There's three of you. You can now play games. It's sad. Frankly, it's sad it took them this long to start playing games with each other.
Yeah. Because they waited until they had cards. And it's like, make your own cards. Come on.
Right.
Or make your own something. I don't know.
People have been doing this for so long. People have been entertaining themselves forever. I think all these people are, frankly, useless.
I mean, I will say, Madeline is good at telling people what to do, I guess. But, there's not that much to do. So, it's not a huge... It's not saying a whole lot.
Right, right.
I guess maybe the bar is just set low.
Oh, my gosh. Luke, they have... So, they've been eating birds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think about how many feathers they have built up. You're making so... people love making shit with feathers. Right?
This is true.
You're making jewelry with it. You're making a little pen, a quill with it. You're crafting arrows, maybe. I don't know. I mean, we've all played Minecraft, okay? We're crafting now.
We're doing a lot of feather-based artwork.
What else are you doing with all those feathers?
I don't know. A pillow or something.
Which it seems like they could use, frankly.
Yeah. Get it. Yeah. It's a mess. Let's see. Should we talk about anyone else? I mean...
So there, Daniel has this moment where he locks them out, right?
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to let him back in. And eventually Sierra, I think, lets them in.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Sierra's... I can't tell. Is Sierra still holding this against them? There's this moment where there's a human scream that's happening out in the woods. And Sierra thinks that it's John, her husband, and is upset that they won't let her out to go look at it.
Right.
And she's holding a grudge. We get her perspective here just before they go down into the bunker. Did it sound like she's still upset at them about this?
I think she kind of is. Mm-hmm. I think it's the kind of thing where she is upset at them, but it's maybe she acknowledges that it's irrational.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like her presence would make this so much more bearable. At least her presence before she's mad at them.
Okay.
Because I'm with Daniel here, where she's just she has a positive attitude. And I don't know about you, Luke, but I've worked with people sometimes, and if everybody's pessimistic, it sucks. If there's no person you can go to and you're like, hey, I'm having a great day today, how are you doing, and you're vibing, if there's nobody like that, if you try that with any of your coworkers and they're all yeah, things are shit, it just it's the worst.
Right. Yes, I agree with you. Yeah.
And so I really appreciate the role that she was sort of filling in this group.
Mm-hmm.
And when the turn happened where she's just pissed at everybody, I would be thinking about opening that door and running out at night after a
yes.
week.
It is interesting because Sierra, doesn't contribute much other than a smile.
Yeah, but there's tasks. We already talked about how hard are the tasks people have to do.
Right.
Literally go get water. What children do that?
Okay. Okay. So basically, like, the valuable contribution at this point, considering they're not like doing many other things beyond the basics, is
they're not renovating the house, right?
You want vibe contributions.
Yes. And Madeline complains that if she didn't tell Sierra to go get firewood, she would just stare at the fire until it burned out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that might be true. Okay. But you can just say, hey, we need some more firewood. Go get it. And then she'll do it.
Yeah.
So I get that it's annoying that you have to give them orders. Get over it, I guess. That's what management is, I guess.
It is the kind of thing where, like, the orders that you're giving aren't complicated. So, like, because I have had the experience of having to find things for people to do.
Yes.
And when you don't have something for people to do and you need to occupy their time, that's kind of hard, because then it becomes like labor that is unnecessary.
Sometimes, yeah. It's a tough spot.
But in this case, it's like, she knows how to find firewood. She knows how to go get the water. You can just tell her to do it. It's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on.
Okay. Okay. I feel like we're talking ourselves out of being pro Madeline, though.
I'm pro all of them but Daniel.
So, okay, see, the thing about Daniel is that I feel like he's the one I feel the worst for.
Okay. Yes. It sounds like he comes from a bad situation.
And was, like, dumped into a worse version of it. Or I don't know about worse.
I don't know if it was worse, but it's definitely not. It's not good for his spirit, right? He's not flourishing here. But
shockingly.
But also, like, and yeah, Madeline isn't the best. She's not a social worker. Let's say that.
Mm-hmm.
But she's not like. I don't think she's like literally abusive to Daniel. Like, she's harsh. But Daniel describes the circumstance that he comes from as, like, his dad burned tests that he passed and only kept the ones that he failed to, like, show him, to, like, rub his nose in his failures.
Right. Yes, that's obviously a difference. I do get a little bit frustrated with Madeline here, though, where, like, at every single thing that Daniel does, she responds with, like, exasperation or something. And, like, I get that maybe they've been together for a really long time with not much to occupy themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the kind of thing that, like, just if everything that you do, if you're Daniel, is responded to with, like, something that makes you feel dumb, that's miserable.
This is true. Okay. This is fair.
Even if each thing is not, like, over the top bad, it's like literally every single thing that I do is responded to negatively.
This is fair. Counterpoint, Daniel is a 19-year-old man and is being pushed around by, like, a skeleton woman.
True.
I'm not saying he should resort to physical violence, but what I am saying is he could intimidate her very easily. And just, like, being angry and standing up for himself, like, he would get a response that's like, oh, okay, I have to deal with this because you're big and could take the keys from me.
Mm-hmm.
And throw me out of this room. And so, like...
Right.
He could, what I'm saying is he could demand respect.
Yes.
Not that he should necessarily, but what I'm saying is he kind of deserves more respect. As you're saying, he does deserve a little bit more, maybe some more respect, or at least like a little kindness would go a long way here.
Yeah.
And I think he's just a little baby.
He is a little baby. I'll acknowledge that.
Anyway, I think that's everybody, Luke.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about the bunker. Do you have anything before we get to the bunker?
Yes. Just basically right before the bunker, mm-hmm. Madeline is finally kind of telling them stuff.
Yes.
Which, first of all, can you do this earlier? I don't know why you're keeping secrets.
Yeah, seems unnecessary.
Like you, those countless hours that we were just sitting there, maybe you, we could have talked more about it. Anyway, she talks about having seen the Watchers and the time that she saw them, they all looked identical to her. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know why, but that one was like, I was like, oh, I'm out. I need to take a break.
Yeah.
That was the one that spooked me the most, I think.
Well, I also think if you're Mina, you need to immediately be suspicious of her, because it's like, yes. What do you, wait, why did you have me close my eyes when they came around? Do they all look like you? Like, are you one of them? Are they you? Do you know what I mean? Like, I am suddenly suspicious now.
I mean, I was suspicious of her from the jump.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've since become less suspicious of her, honestly. But I don't know. What's that part was scary, but also I feel like even with this moment of openness, mm-hmm. I feel like there is still more to talk about, like,
right,
to go through that I think they're kind of on the clock now, but still.
Yeah. But before then, they weren't necessarily... Oh, no, I guess they were on the clock. But yeah, when you're chilling there, especially considering she's a historian.
Yeah.
At the very least, Luke, if I'm a historian and I have a captive audience, you know I'm telling them interesting history tidbits while we're sitting there.
You're not like you have history knowledge of this place. We're not theorizing back and forth all night, every night, to help to come up with ideas. Oh, you think that they're the fairy? Let's talk about how we might deal with that.
Let's see if we can test that theory.
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't.
Nope. Can't do it. I also want to say it's a little embarrassing on Madeline's side. She's been there for over 2 years and never moved the table.
That is embarrassing.
That's pretty embarrassing. There's like one piece of furniture in the whole room.
Come on.
You know that that thing is like, there's so much dust underneath that thing too.
Yes. Yes.
Pretty embarrassing, Madeline.
And listen, it's like in the middle. You haven't moved it over to play soccer. A little bit.
Or you haven't spilled something and noticed how it all pools at the bottom under the table. And thought, oh, I wonder if there's a drain down there or something.
Wild. Come on, Madeline.
Get it together.
Okay, let's talk bunker.
Yeah. So they bust up the concrete. They find a bunker. It's not at all like Lost. Don't even make that comparison to the hit TV show from 2004, Lost.
Which I've never seen, so I don't.
Yeah, it's not like that at all. Okay. I'm wondering, are you excited for this to turn into a Mr. Beast challenge? Are you excited that this has been a Mr. Beast challenge the whole time?
I am excited for that. Love a sociopathic Mr. Beast challenge.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason. Like, I mean, he's got cameras everywhere. Yes. We locked four people who hate each other's guts in a room where the lights are always on. Like, it's literally just a Mr. Beast challenge.
It is. Yeah.
And they've reached like day 30 or whatever. And he's like, we gave him now we're going to give him a bunker for half. If they give up half the money, are they going to take it? You know what I mean? Like, this is just a Mr. Beast challenge.
It is.
And you know what, Luke? Notice how, like, Peter was a recruiter for this, right? Are you suspicious of Peter at all?
Ooh. This is a good question. I hadn't been before this because it seemed completely on Mina. But it's a good question. Getting to be a little suspicious, especially as we discussed how bad his map circling skills are.
Mm-hmm. And John, right? Remember, we were introduced to John at the very beginning. Yes. And John was like, let's just go for a drive. We're just going to drive out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes. This one was... Can we talk about this for 1 second? Okay. I know it's completely changing things.
It's okay. We'll come back. But yeah.
I go back and forth on John because it's like, it is dumb to just drive and mm-hmm. take wrong turns all the time.
Well, okay. No.
Like to a certain level.
But if, listen, Luke, if you have GPS, it's fine because yes. you can just be like, take me home and I'll follow it back.
Well, okay. I think I agree with that, but they did it for like hours and it's like, okay, at a certain point, like,
okay, hours this isn't is too long.
Really, this is not novel anymore. We're like, we can be done. Correct. But like, I'm tired of watching movies on all day on Sunday. I don't think going for a drive would be my choice.
Yeah.
But I don't blame him for wanting to do something else.
Luke, I'm saying he is like, he's in on it.
Okay.
He brought Sierra here.
Okay.
And he was like, Mr. Beast came to him and was like, hey, John, we need some more contestants for our new game show that we're doing. It's called Four People Locked in a Room with a Stupid Bird, and we're gonna see how long before they
only have one person and a bird so far. yeah
and Mr. Beast was like, you know, as soon as they leave, they can't leave at night, and we need another contestant. Do you know anybody? And John's like, my bitch wife who doesn't want to do anything on Sundays,
my wife who's really dumb but kind of delightful would be great on this.
Yeah. Let's see if we can break her spirit. It'll make great TV, Mr. Beast. And he dropped her off. He was like, all right, he dipped, right? He's currently out because he was like, this was so boring. I couldn't stare at the wall for another 8 hour night.
I've never actually watched a Mr. Beast video.
But they basically go like this.
But you're not like watching the whole thing, right?
Correct.
I'm assuming it's like,
it's edited.
We check in once a week or something.
They edit to show the exciting moments.
Okay. Yeah. yeah, it definitely gives off that vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is that your theory? You think it is a Mr. Beast video?
Yeah, this is 100% a Mr. Beast video.
Okay.
The challenge is...
Well, do you think that the watchers are real then?
Yeah, why not? Fuck it. Mr. Beast has real watchers in there.
Mr. Beast has watchers that all look like... what's her name?
Madeline.
Madeline.
And it'll really slice you up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Beast was like, this will make it exciting.
They smell really bad, apparently, in some way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why not? Fuck it. He's got watchers now.
Classic. Yeah. I'm into that. What do you think about the bunker? Do you have any theories about it so far? Do you think this, because my guess is just that someone plopped this down here and they built the building during the day or something. Is that what you're thinking?
Because
like the big question is like, how is the building here, right?
Yeah. So if we're not going with my Mr. Beast theory, otherwise it was just Mr. Beast built it.
Of course.
With like, he had a helicopter bring all the materials in, they worked during the day. But if it's not Mr. Beast, then I think what this is, so Luke, there has been this trend for the last, actually it's been a lot longer than recently, but recently this trend has exacerbated where the ultra wealthy will buy property in a foreign country and build a secret end of the world bunker there.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
Okay.
Except this is somebody who has the kind of money that gets you a secret end of the world bunker that's also protected by supernatural fairy creatures. He had his, so this he had is his the assistant. Level up.
The fairy creatures are the guards. Basically.
They're the security system for his end of the world bunker. And he went to his assistant and he was like, hey, so Mark Zuckerberg has one of these secret bunkers in like Hawaii and New Zealand, and like he keeps bragging to me about it, and I want to dunk on him. Can you get me one that's better? Find me an ancient fey forest that I can put mine in.
Ideally, there would be some interesting history associated with it too, to keep me entertained a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And make it kind of cool.
And I want it to be really off the grid, you know?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and make it have like a striking appearance, like a lot of modern homes with like floor to ceiling windows and stuff.
Yeah, I want to look out in the forest, and I also want some really high up windows, so to mm-hmm. just let the light in for when I want some privacy in my living room. And really weird. Is Frank Lloyd Wright still alive? He's not. Can we get AI Frank Lloyd Wright to make me a house?
Yes.
Let's do Please. That then. Let's do that.
100%. I'm mm-hmm. fully convinced of that.
If it wasn't Mr. Beast, then that's what this is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Luke, right, there is a mystery here, though.
Okay.
Why is there concrete on the top? Like, on the bunker is sealed in with concrete.
Yes.
There's two reasons for that, right? The first is they wanted nobody to be able to find it, the entrance, right? They were trying to conceal it as much as possible.
Wait, what do you mean?
The bunker, the entrance to the bunker.
Oh, okay, 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 okay. I was thinking the whole building. No, yes, no, no. The bunker specifically.
The bunker specifically is covered in concrete. If I live there and I want to have access to the bunker, I'm not counting. This is not a break glass of it in case of emergency situation. Like, this becomes a hard project for me to like get into this. I can't get in there at a moment's notice. Like,
right, right. That's my reading nook. I want easy access.
Yes. And so either it had to be super well hidden because they don't want anybody knowing they have a bunker, mm-hmm. or there's something in there that they're trying to keep in there.
Ooh.
They don't want to let anything out from what's in there. They tried to seal it up.
Okay. That's interesting.
Maybe we haven't explored the bunker entirely.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a little creature in there. Maybe there's one of the fairies is in there who's actually a nice one, but they don't know.
Ooh,
he's nice.
That can be fun.
And then it's a fun little buddy adventure.
There we go. Oh, a buddy. Okay. I have an alternative theory.
Okay. Hit me with
it. So there's a computer down there, right?
Two, actually.
Two computers, a bunch of screens.
You're saying he's a gamer?
Well, yes, but it's a guy, I'm assuming.
Of course. Come on.
And he's been alone for a long time. I'm assuming he has Wi-Fi access.
Oh, no.
And well, I think no, he's like, Luke. No one can see my my history. I am concreting this up. Otherwise, people will see what I've been watching down
You're
here.
You're saying the level of depravity that he's gone to down in that bunker is so much. He can't even destroy the computers. It is the soul of it. The soul of it has infested that room.
That's right. It remains. Yes.
The stink. You're saying the stink is not the Watchers. The stink is of his sin that has come up through course. The floor of this bunker.
Yes. Oh, I'm no. saying that he has cameras around to watch the Watchers.
To make sure that they aren't getting in
weird ways.
Oh, no. Alternatively, Luke, his horrible sins that he did on the computer spawned the Watchers. He had the camera set up.
We need to send someone, and they just kept sending new Watchers because they couldn't get in.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm more saying like here's how it's working in my fiction. Okay. Guy builds this bunker for all of his horrible, horrible things he wants to watch and do.
Yeah.
To himself down in there. He does something so horrible that he's like, this is too much. The post-nut clarity is like the worst he's ever had.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, I need to make sure no one ever finds this place. So he sets up a camera system. He seals everything away. But mm-hmm. then, and he leaves. He hopes he can forget about it. So he leaves and is hoping to never come back. But right. what he has done has infected the space. And now the forest is decaying over time. And the watchers arise. They sort of spawn.
They spawn from the evil.
From the evil there. That he infested this place with. And the cameras yeah. are more like he was really paranoid about somebody coming up and interrupting him in his horrific his gross crimes that he's doing, his gross sins that he's involved in.
Right. Yeah.
And so the watchers are more of a side effect. It's sort of like the pollution in Fern Gully, you know, except the pollution in this case is gross. It's not a black sludge. It's more of a
right.
Well, I don't need to get too descriptive. We don't need to get too blue with the kind of sludge that's eking out of this bunker.
No, that's unnecessary.
The ectoplasm, you could say.
Okay. Okay. I think we've got some good theories here. I think we've kind of nailed all the mysteries.
Yeah, I'm imagining we're just going to get the wrap up in the next half.
It'll be all of the things that we've analyzed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mr. Beast is going to finally show his face and say, hey, how are you guys doing? Can't wait for that video to drop.
Of course. Yes.
I guess actually we're going to be watching
this. This is not an ad for Mr. Beast. Please do not watch Mr. Beast.
No, Mr. Beast. I'll bet you could make AI Mr. Beast that's about the same level of quality as his content. So maybe that's the next step.
Okay. Exciting. What a time to be alive.
We live in exciting times, folks. Anyway, Luke, remember, everybody, if you've got those creepypastas, send it to us on our Discord. Again, the Discord, you can find it through our subreddit. or just post on the subreddit and we'll find it before the end of the month. But we'll be back next week. We're going to wrap up the reading of The Watchers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the week after that, we'll be watching The Watchers.
There we go. Finally, someone's got to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So get excited about that. We'll be back next week, though, bringing the hot takes.
And being dumb nerds.